show? What are you talking about? If you had a mojo to be destroyed, it would be one thing. We don't have any mojo here. We got either the mo or we got your Joe. We don't have both.
I have mojo.
Oh, that's right. It's me that does it. I always get those two confused. All right. 2 minutes and 49 seconds after the hour 12 in this, the month of December, in the year of our Lord, 2002. The only year that any of us are going to see that is also a palindrome. Make a note of it. File it away in case you should need it to win some sort of a bar bet. Palindrome.
What's that?
I'm not going to tell you.
Is that the secret void?
Yes, exactly what it is. Yeah, you win a sofa.
That's actually not true because I think all of us saw 1991.
No, but I mean from now on. I mean, it's the last one. I mean, there's not going to be another one. The next one's 2112, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is also the name of an album by Rush.
Woo!
Rock and roll! Here's Night Moves on KGON. It's 503-250-TONETTI in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show, along with the lovely Sarah Dillon, the less lovely Matthew Peterson, but the loveliest of them all, Tim Riley. We're here today along with Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, going to be here later. We got head sales weasel, the weasel king, if you will. Trey Yant, going to be with his musical top fives later on. Another edition of How Chicks Stick with Jolie from the front desk. And welcome to Day 12. Split the baby somehow and have some sort of a mincemeat latke. Or, you know, not. Never. All right. All of that is coming up. This is Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news is brought to you by Everybody's Garden Center. Joy to the world, Trentlon has quit. The media's parked outside his office in his hometown of Pascagoula, Mississippi, hoping he'll come out. It looks like he won't.
Now, we were hoping, we in the media, hoping that Senator Lott would come out and make some sort of statement today. But just a short while ago, his wife, who has been very nice to us, walked out to the media as she was collecting her garbage to bring it back into her garage. She said, handed us a note from her husband saying, "My official statement was released from Washington at 11 o'clock. There will be no statement to the television media. Please go home."
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen. That'll happen any moment now. They'll be packing up, heading off into the sunset.
And why is she collecting garbage? You bring it back into her garage.
Man, did Christmas come early this year or what?
I guess so.
All right. Could Pat Robertson be far behind? That's seriously, you want to make this the best Christmas ever? I don't want the peace on earth. I don't want the goodwill towards men. I want Pat Robertson to be caught in some sort of a crack house with a small Filipino boy. That's what I want. That's how you can make me a happy guy this holiday season.
Well, Pat Buchanan says Mississippi folks must be pretty upset with the Republican Party about now.
But there's two-thirds of Mississippi voted for the battle flag.
Yeah.
Voted to keep it. And these folks don't like the idea that their senator was taken and treated like a piece of garbage and dumped.
I don't know if it was a garbage. More of a pinata.
Yeah.
A pinata filled with garbage and black bile.
Chris Matthews describes Lott's imminent replacement. He's Tennessee Senator Bill Frist.
He'll be calm. He'll be more like Mike Mansfield than Lyndon Johnson. He'll be calculated. He'll win. That's, that has been the record. He's a doctor. He's a surgeon. He operates on the hearts of five-year-old kids. He saves lives, transplants organs. This guy is a cool customer. His hands don't shake. Have you watched him?
Better hope not if he's operating on the hearts of five-year-old. Treadlot kills puppies and burns crosses. All right. Excellent. Man, that makes me so happy. And he's got a bad rug, too. It's like, if you're going to have a hairpiece, there's only, look, there's no middle road on this. You can't get a hairpiece that's kind of good. You got to go for the seamless hairpiece. Like, I'll let him remain nameless, but we used to work with a guy here who had a hairpiece, which I didn't know for the longest time. I don't want to say him because he's not with us anymore, but he worked down the hall.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know, yeah. It was a good one.
Yeah, I know, he told me. Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's why I don't want to say it, because not everybody maybe knows. But I never knew because he lightened it and darkened it over the course of the year to fluctuate with the amount of sun that was out there.
It wasn't like a William Shatner piece.
Seriously, when summertime would come, it'd have a little blonde highlights in it. When wintertime would come, it'd be dark again, it'd be all brown. I never knew it was a rug till somebody pointed it out. So you either got to get that or you got to go with the James Traficant, which is just so obscenely inappropriate, and just, you look like some sort of octogenarian rooster.
Looks like the rig that goes around the toilet.
And you can't have this middle ground where you kind of got a hairpiece that works, where it works on some days and not others, and like the left side is okay and the right side's all higgledy-piggledy. It doesn't work. And that's what Trent Lott had.
Deal with it. Bald is beautiful, man. Like Patrick Stewart and those guys.
Bald,
they pull
can
it off.
Be.
Just shave it.
Bald can be beautiful. Bald can be beautiful for some people. Probably not for Trent Lott. Because, I mean, I can count the number of white people I know for whom bald works on, like, less than one hand. Let's count them right now. Patrick Stewart. James, okay, Captain Picard works for him. Mr. Clean. He's fictional. But Phil Hendry is pretty much the same thing, so that doubles. Who else?
Moby.
No, not so much.
It works for former Weapon Master Ian Gordon. It works for Ian Gordon, our former Weapon Master.
Yeah.
Works for Telly Savalas. I mean, name me one more bald white man who doesn't look like an Aryan. This is the thing. It's like if I were to shave my head because I'm scrawny and I got the big nose and I just look like some freakish neo-Nazi. Very, very rarely. Basically, the rule of thumb is this, and unless you're Patrick Stewart, you have to be what we politely call stocky for it to work if you're a white man.
Michael Chiklis.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, but he's barrel-chested. You know what I'm talking about there. You have to be fat. I mean, you can't be a skinny white man and have the bald head work. Because then you just look like some sort of an underarm roll-on. And nobody likes that. What were we talking about?
Oh, nothing in particular.
Excellent.
So let's move along. We knew this was going to happen months ago. As a matter of fact, it was brought up in this program. An arrest warrant is out for the former boyfriend of that Lake Oswego teen who faked an abduction. 19-year-old Tyler Wagner, a no-show in Clackamas County Court. He faces charges relating to last summer's incident involving the fake disappearance of Sarah Roberts. His lawyer says she's been in contact with him, and he couldn't make the court appearance because he had car trouble and was in another state.
It's okay. I'm sorry, I just can't make it in. I apologize.
So he could be charged with failing to appear in court in addition to a number of charges he already faced.
Great.
High school sports may be saved.
Huzzah! Yay.
The Oregon Sports Authority, some private interest group, will give $75,000 to keep these deserving youngsters off the streets.
We do not agree with the extracurricular label that some people place on sports, music, drama, and similar programs.
We think these programs should
be an integral part of a quality education for today's students.
All these dits, but they're not raising money for the... Can I just say this? Here's the thing. Note the clever sleight of hand. This is what Penn and Teller would call misdirection. Note how he says, we don't consider sports, drama, and art, and music to be extracurricular. We think that they are vital. Yet,
is called the Oregon Sports Authority.
It's the Oregon
Drama
Sports Authority, and they're only raising money for sports. Because you know why? And I think I can speak on behalf of all my people when I say this. I think all my peeps know that I'm speaking the truth when I say that things like drama and art and music always get the sticky end of the lollipop, man. They always get the shaft. In school. And this is not about my bitterness that sports gets money so much as it is about my bitterness that these other things are always getting underfunded.
Did you actually compete on your debate team when you were in high school?
I did.
What did it cost you?
I went to state, baby.
What did it cost you?
What do you mean? For what?
Did you guys have to pay for it all yourselves?
No.
My senior year, when my partner and I did fairly well that year, they cut all the funding between each of us, we each probably spent about $2,500 that year to enter tournaments, to travel around, stay places, all that kind of stuff.
See, I kind of had...
Just to be able to compete.
I had. Oh, we didn't have to pay when we did debate, but see, I had the kind of the good news, bad news. I had debate for the first 2 years of high school, and I was freshman and sophomore. Didn't cost me anything. Junior, senior year, didn't cost me anything because they axed the program. So it was sort of like... So I don't know whether that's good or bad. It was free for the 2 years that I had it, but for the last 2 years of my high school, they just axed the program because there was no money. And you know,
well, same kind of thing. They axed the program. They still had the class, the right. debate forensics class.
But what's
class.
The point? But it's like having football class and no games.
Well, right. But we actually, that's why I say, we just paid out of our own pocket to enter tournaments.
Yeah, see, and I just...
And the school let us use their affiliation.
See, not the... sing the sad song to me, but I wouldn't have had the money to do it. I mean, I just wouldn't have. Me and most of the guys in my debate team just wouldn't have had that kind of money. And so, but that'd be like having your chalk talk, but never actually going to the field. No, we're just going to sit and watch film this week. You know what I mean? So, but you know that if it had been football, this is the difference, is that with sports, you know what, if you're a grown person, wants to go throw a ball around, fine, whatever. You know, you want to put on some tights and go slap another guy in the buttocks, whatever. All I'm saying is that when it comes to sports, they always seem to find the money. That's the problem. They'll always find the money when sports are on the line. But when other things are on the line, suddenly, no, there's no money to be found. Blood from a turnip can't help you. Sorry, go do something else.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
When's the last time you went to a pep rally for the Glee Club?
All right. Am I starting off being grouchy today?
I'm helping.
No, you're in a great mood. I love it.
All right. Excellent. That's what I like to hear.
She's lying to you, of course.
People are saying those...
Whoa. Okay, we got like 7 things going on. Let's all stop. Get a hold of ourselves. Let's not let this wacky cavalcade of fun get out of hand. Okay.
Who's next?
You.
People are saying those high school kids who walked out yesterday just wanted to play hooky. Marshall High kids wanted to show that's wrong and held a sit-in inside the school last night.
For somebody who's gay, who's 16.
Wrong cut. New one.
What the hell are we doing? I don't know. And how can you have a camp out inside the school? When I was a kid, they used to call that breaking and entering and trespassing.
Well, that's true, too.
All right.
The sleep in proves our point that we do want to be in school and that we just don't want to skip.
The
but we
sleep
also
in.
They need to find another way around in. The budget shortfall. The student shouldn't take the brunt of it.
So there.
All right.
That was that. It's time now for Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas.
We wish you
a Walmart shopper is attacked after imitating a crying baby. Prosecutors say a Kansas City man shopping in a Walmart store grabbed a baseball bat from the shelf and attacked a man who made a remark about a crying baby. David Holbrook and his girlfriend were shopping for Christmas gifts and walking through the toy department when they passed Jeff Yuda and a woman with a crying baby. Holbrook imitated the baby's cries, going, wah, wah. And then the couple continued to be in the electronics department. While there, Yuda reportedly appeared with a wooden baseball bat on his shoulder. Holbrook says, are you going to hit me with that bat?
Holbrook, I think we all know the answer to that.
He then struck him in the head several times, and he tried to regain his balance, and he was struck on the back and fell to the floor. Yuda continued to strike him with the bat, saying, according to some onlookers, don't be a jerk.
Yeah. Excellent.
Let's see.
Another edition of Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Excellent.
Cornered by the DEA, Montgomery Brogan, Ed Norton, reevaluates his life in the 24 remaining hours before facing a 7-year term in the 25th hour.
It's a new Spike Lee joint.
Yes. Please explain the story, Mr. Norton.
The story, which is derived from the novel. The
Chicks dig
hours.
Ed Norton.
It's
you want to tell me a guy who ever has trouble getting a date is Ed Norton.
Wasn't he dating Courtney Love for a while?
He's dating everybody.
Yeah, that's when I started to not.
They were engaged, I think. They didn't get married, but I think they were engaged.
Arrested for...
He pulled off the bald head thing in American History X, but that's because he was beefed up, though. That's because he did the weight training. You know, he like trained over like 6 months, got all huge.
Well, yeah, but that kind of played into the earlier stereotype. He was sort of playing the neo-Nazi.
I know, but I'm saying he didn't look freakish in the dorky geek. See, here's the thing. Okay, let's see if I can extricate myself from this one. I'm not saying he wanted to look like a Nazi. I'm saying physically, though, he pulled it off because he had the big body. He wasn't scrawny. It's like, here's a good point. You look at a Full Metal Jacket. Look at Vincent D'Onofrio as the Nutty Private Pyle with the shaved head versus Matthew Modine as Joker. And Private Pyle goes nuts, but the bald head fits him better, though, physically, because he's a big guy. Matthew Modine just looks like, you know, just looks like a pipe cleaner or something. It's just, it's bad. Anyway, so Ed Norton, Spike Lee. Is that open today, that 25th hour?
I guess so, yes.
Ah, dollar in the jar, you bastard.
Oh, wait a minute. It's payday.
It's beginning to look
but
a lot like
Christmas. I
haven't
cashed my check.
Right. Somebody took your dollar out of the jar.
Oh, those bastards.
They'll all pay.
They'll all pay.
Freaking Weekenders.
It's another IOU.
So the Spike Lee movie is supposed to be really good, though. I think it opens today, but it's the first Spike Lee film since... The last Spike Lee. What was the last real movie he made? Because like the King's a comedy and crime. That doesn't count.
Do the right thing.
So don't bust on Spike Lee. Why are you gonna be like that?
Just because I knew it would get your goat.
No, Spike Lee's. Yeah, don't.
There are plenty of goats to be gotten here today.
I can't remember what the last real Spike Lee film was. It must have been
Bamboozled.
But I'm trying to think if he did a real film between. I think you're right. I think that's it because after that he did. I think Freak, which was the Leguizamo one-man show, was after that, and I think King's of Comedy is after that, but neither of those count because you're just pointing... What do you direct when you're doing a stand-up comedy? That you just point, turn the camera on, go to lunch, and you come back, there you go, there's your film. So yeah, Bamboozle was the last movie he did, so this is supposed to be really good.
Anyway, Ed Norton has asked how long he's been waiting to work with Spike Lee.
I've been waiting for years to get something from Spike. Yeah, I've been bugging him for as long as I've felt like I could, and I've been dreaming of working with him since long before that. I think he's just been one of my favorite filmmakers from the very beginning of his career, and I think I probably would have said yes without opening the script, but it was a double bonus I thought it was such a terrific story. Because I would do almost anything with him.
Oh, Spike Lee's the greatest thing about Spike Lee. He's a great filmmaker and he's a great screenwriter and I know there's people getting annoyed with me like even as I say that, but that's the best part. The best thing about Spike Lee is you just say his name and people get angry. I mean, I wish I had that ability. Rick Emerson. You know, you just say, hey, what do you think of Spike Lee? Oh, that lousy Spike Lee. You just say his name, and people start to get pissed off. I mean, that's a miraculous, wondrous ability to have. Someday I hope to have that. You know, you just utter my name to people, and they start to become infuriated. It's a wonderful thing. Mark in North Portland, you're a full-time listener. What's up, man?
What's going on, Rick?
What do you got?
Hey, first off, I was at the Koi Drive last Friday.
Excellent.
It was a good time was had by all.
Excellent. Thank you.
And three guys that can carry the ball book. Bruce Willis did it for a while.
Oh, no, that's true. Bruce Willis, he does that, yeah.
And number two, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes, indeed.
And thirdly, the classiest bald guy, Yul Brynner.
Oh, no, Yul Brynner's the archetype, too. He sort of paved that road.
I tell you, when you look at Ten Commandments, I mean, he just carries that whole movie.
Yeah, no, okay, I'm with you on that. That's Mark in North Portland. Yeah, excellent. All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Yul Brynner totally, he put the first wheels on that bandwagon. All right, we got more on the way, including Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. We got Trey Ann from Sales with his musical Top 5 coming later on. We'll check in with CNN about Trent Lott. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. South Talk 1080 KSK. Stay there. We will continue.
Flying through the snow. Can you hear him? Ho, ho, ho. He's so
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, what are you eating?
A piece of celery.
Don't overindulge.
Well, we're having our potluck right
Careful,
now.
Careful, you might gain an ounce.
Oh, stop that.
All right, that was the gayest thing. That's like Jolie, because we've noted before that Jolie sometimes sounds a lot like a gay man.
I sound like a gay man?
Just there you did.
Oh,
when
stop
you said,
it?
When you said, oh, stop it. You totally sounded like, I don't know, I know not what, Charles Nelson Reilly or somebody just there. All right, here's Sarah Dillon with Trevor.
Wow, thanks.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Oh, it should be noted at this juncture, by the way, I have a card here from Matt's mom. Matt's mother sent me a Christmas card. Rick, I wanted to make sure you had one Christmas card this year. Well, thanks. Keep up, is it so known that my life is depressing?
Wait, it says one nice one, doesn't it?
No, it just says one.
Oh.
Just want to make sure you have one card.
That's a good size Christmas card, too.
Keep up the good work for the shows, and that's from Matt's mom, Sheila. There you go.
I came in with her tray of homemade cookies.
It really did.
And those were going over like a hit down in the
And can I just tell you, cookies, man, they're just my Achilles heel. Because, you know, I don't eat a lot of junk food. I don't, you know, it's not like I'm a health freak or whatever. I just don't, you know, I've talked about this before. I was raised on very little sugar, very little fat. And so as an adult, I just don't, it takes very little fat or sugar to kind of give me that, oh, I had too much feeling. And so I eat very little of it. But cookies, man, are my weakness.
Would you like a tray all for yourself?
No, just don't even put them in front of me. And because then I'll just eat them all, and then I'm going to feel like crap later. And then it's like you're going to get... And I got the gut, too. And it's like I have the worst of all worlds. I'm thin guy, you know, little guy, big gut. It's like the fat guy, little coat. I'm like the little guy, fat gut. And the cookies are just going to... they're going to augment that. I don't need that. Here's Tim Riley in the KHK Newsroom.
A change in a comic book character has a Colorado Springs-based religious group concern. Marvel Comics is relaunching The Rawhide Kid. Going back to 1955, this one does. This time around, the title character will be openly gay. Focus on the Family spokesman Bill Meyer says that's not a good idea for children.
Parents in America are looking for their kids to thrive and grow in a successful, healthy environment.
This guy sounds
they
gay.
Don't need the Rawhide Kid steering their child towards homosexuality.
They're recruited
What's
by
you calling everybody
books?
Gay?
Well, people in
everyone
those,
sounds
those
gay.
Those guys are always gay. You know what I mean? Those guys that they'll wake up every morning bent on stamping it out everywhere.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Usually is.
It's like the average person doesn't really think about it. The average person wakes up, they go through the day. You know, maybe somebody's gay, maybe not. They really focus on it. The only time we focus on it is whenever we see two girls standing next to each other in an elevator, and we allow ourselves just the slightest glimmer of hope that maybe they're going to kiss. You know what I mean? Like if you, I don't know, like if you and Jolie are standing next to each other right before her segment, and, you know, and we think, well, maybe they're just good friends, maybe not. You know, that's the only time that we think about it. But you get these guys like Pat Roberts and Jerry Falwell. As soon as their feet hit the floor in the morning, they think, gays, they're everywhere. Gays, they're after me. Gays, they're going to kill me. You know, those guys, always gay. Always and forever. Those guys are always gay deep inside, so to speak.
Anyway, rights activist Ryan Acker says gay kids can look up to the Rawhide Kid as a hero.
The Rawhide Kid. Is able to see a comic book that has something positive about them. That's a huge thing. That's incredible.
Oh, okay.
Time for the Osama Watch.
All right. Yeah, here's your Osama Watch for Friday. Hang the Bastard by Trey Parker.
It's as nice as a day can be. Won't you come to the hanging with me?
Hang the Bastard.
Send his sorry soul to hell.
When the sun rolls out, we'll know.
It's the end of the show and we all can go home. But not till we hang the bastard, hang him here. The most exciting thing this town has seen in years. When his body stops jerking, we'll know.
It's the end of him.
It's the end of him.
It's the end of him.
And the end of the show.
Why is terrorist leader Osama bin Laden so popular in some parts of the world? Perhaps, says Senator Patty Murray, it's because he and his supporters have spent years building goodwill in poor countries by helping for schools, roads, infrastructure, maybe some athletic programs. We've got to ask, why is this man so popular around the world? She asked her to parents at Columbia River High School. Why are people so supportive
That's
of
in
him?
Vancouver, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the answers may be uncomfortable, but they're important for people to ponder, she says. He's been out in this country for decades, building schools, better roads, infrastructure, daycare facilities, health care, and the people are extremely grateful. We haven't done that.
Osama's daycare. The mind reels. Well, that's like the oldest trick in the book, though, because nobody took better care of people on the holidays than Al Capone. You know, that's the oldest trick. That's chapter one in the Thug Bible. You know what I'm saying? That's you know, you take care of the you know, the common man, and that they'll, you know, that you, you're in goodwill with them for when the man comes after you. So I don't doubt that that's true.
So how would they look at us today if we've been there helping them with some of that, rather than just being the people who are going to bomb Iraq and go into Afghanistan? Why, there's even a rumor that Bin Laden helped build an Afghani orphanage.
Which we then probably blew up. That's probably why we were blowing up those weddings.
So she's in trouble for saying this, even though a lot of, I mean...
Even though it's undoubtedly true, it doesn't mean he's a good guy, but I'm saying that, you know, that was, especially in the early part of the 20th century, it was known that mobsters, while being bad people by anybody's rationale, gave a lot of money to poor communities. It's exactly that sort of thing, because, here's the thing, because... The neighborhood, the community, is going to know a lot more about where Al Capone is at any given moment and where the bodies are buried than the cops are. Because the, because there's more people in the community, and they hear what goes on in the street. They hear the whispers of what goes on in the, you know, in what Andrew Vox would call the whisper stream
was,
in the community.
It was the same kind of thing back in the, you know, the Wild West days. I mean, like the James Gang and stuff, they were known to give tons of money to kind of the Robin Hood syndrome, where they steal and they'd give a bunch of money to local farmers.
And you do it because it keeps the people on your side and keeps them from ratting you out to the man.
Right.
So it doesn't mean Osama's a good guy. It's just insurance.
No, and Trent Lott opened up all these Walmarts. Sure, they were torn down from the hurricanes, but at least he brought Walmart to Mississippi, didn't he?
It's your Osama watch for Friday.
Kiss is guilty, but goodbye.
All right, in Wilsonville, it's Juan. You're on Hot Talk 98.5 KOTK. What's up?
Hey, Rick. I love your show.
Thank you.
I just want to let you know that they have a gay cartoon on TV.
Okay.
On I believe it's on Comedy Network. There's a show with two gay guys.
Is this the Adult Swim? Is that what we're talking about? That the no? What the hell am I thinking of? I'm thinking of something.
No.
Else. Yeah.
That Adult Swim's more of the anime, the Japanese cartoon.
Well, on SNL for a long time, they had that ambiguously gay superhero duo.
That's what I was talking about. They actually have full episodes on Comedy Channel.
Yeah, the ambiguously gay superhero, that's the same guy that did TV Playhouse, or Funhouse, rather, on Comedy Central. I forget the guy's name, but he's the same guy that did TV Funhouse. And when he left SNL, he took the ambiguously gay superhero sketch.
Ambiguously gay duo.
Is it ambiguously gay duo?
Yeah, Ace and Gary.
I've only ever seen it, like, twice. but he's the same guy that did all those Harlem Globetrotter animated things that were just brilliant.
And fun with live audio.
You got some pop culture knowledge over there. Not only that, but you knew, what is it you knew the other day? Yeah, you knew H-U-S-T-L-E-R, Hustler. You knew that the other day, too. Excellent.
Yo, yo.
Take a bow. All right, excellent. Thank you for the tip, Juan. We appreciate it.
Not a problem. Hey, F-Matt from Quan.
All right.
This F-Matt is sponsored by NorthwestPipes.com.
If Juan what? I'll be here all week. At the house of, let's go to Rob in Portland. What's up?
Hey, Rick, I got a question and a story. The question is, when you say welcome to day 12, is that from Bob and Doug McKenzie?
It is. It's from Bob and Doug McKenzie's 12 Days of Christmas when they're just drunk and they F up all the other ones, and then they get to 12 and they go, day 12, and then it's either Bob or Doug says, and welcome to day 12.
Actually, yeah, that was bothering me for a while, and I heard that last night, and I figured that was
That's where that's from, yeah.
Okay, and my story is, you know, like how you're bagging on Walmart?
Yes.
You're not looking at the positive side of Walmart. See, you wake up and your hair's not right, or you're feeling a little fat, you know, you don't think you look so hot.
Yeah.
Just going to Walmart, man. The sheer tonnage there, you know, will make you feel so much better about yourself, and you're instantly the hottest person in the store.
Seriously, you know what it is? It's like being fat. You just find, like, fatter people to hang out with.
Exactly. Now you look thin.
Yes, exactly. But it raises the bar for stupidity to such a level that none of us could look stupid. That's Rob. So welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent and snappy dresser, John Bisney. How are you, man?
It's casual Friday, Rick, but thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, just doing my part, brother, to spread the goodwill.
I appreciate it.
Trent. So Trent Lott is now out, and supposedly the party line is that this is his decision, but clearly if W wasn't coming out and actually pushing him to resign, we know that George Bush wasn't really intervening to keep him there. What are the odds that W just told Lott through a third party, people always say Jeb Bush, through some back channel, just told him, you've got to get out now?
That is quite possible.
I will tell you, though, I think what prompted Senator Lott to make today's announcement when he did was growing pressure within the Republican caucus. Last night when John Warner, who's a very senior member here, came out and said, I am on the Bill Frist team. The Bill Frist team is growing rapidly. I think that was the strongest message to Lott, that he couldn't just continue to hang in there for the next couple of weeks and hope it blew over. He then realized he faced a legitimate challenger who was picking up the vote. So no matter what President Bush said or did not say, I really think it was the internal awareness here of his situation that prompted the announcement's timing.
And just that, you know, a lot was probably, you know, at some point you got to go just go around and do a head count and say, who's with me? And, you know, and you realize when the larger half of the room is against you, that, you know, you gotta, I guess you got to walk before they make you run. He's saying that he will continue to represent the people of Mississippi, though, in the Senate, but history sort of indicates that that's it's certainly not impossible, and it's certainly maybe not even improbable, but it does seem like that's not really the case. Newt Gingrich being the prime example of this, people usually seem to not want to stay in that sort of humbled capacity.
I agree with you. It is unusual. You look at the past histories of majority and, for that matter, minority leaders here in the Senate, most of them, at the end of that term, have either run for the president or left, retired, the exception, notable exception at the moment being Robert Byrd, who served here in both capacities but has stayed on. Of course, he's Appropriations Committee chairman. Which is a pretty good job. He will be the top Democrat come January. But Mr. Lott's problem is he doesn't have a committee chairmanship. So I agree. It's going to be unusual to have him here as sort of a rank-and-file member without portfolio.
All we need to do now is sort of Vegas over-under on when the book is going to come out. That's what these guys always do. This is the go-to job for anybody who gets busted out like this, is that you start writing your memoirs. That's what happens to everybody who becomes disgraced in the political or public arena. You immediately start getting to work on some book. So we'll have to be watching for that. CNN Radio correspondent John Bisney, thank you, man. We appreciate it. All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Excellent.
Beer.
I used to have this whole album somewhere, and I don't know where it went to, but it's like I got it when I was 12, and it was just endlessly, endlessly amusing to me. For reason, like, I didn't even know what half the stuff they're talking about is. What's like backbacking? I didn't even know what a toque even is. A toque is like a hat or something, right? But I didn't even know that at the time. I just thought, you know, drunk guys. Hey, they're making a sequel to Strange Brew, by the way. It's word of the wise. All right, we'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Oh, yeah. Fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 5 golden toques, 4 pounds of back bacon, 3 French toast, 2 turtlenecks, and a beer in a tree. Okay, on the 6th, the golden Christmas, my true love gave to me 6 packs of 2 4s, 5 golden toques, 4 pounds of back bacon, 3 French toast, 2 turtlenecks, and a beer in a tree. Okay, on the 7th. Gave me 7 packs of smoke, yeah, oh, 6 packs of 2 packs. 5 golden boots, 4 pounds of magma, 3 French rolls, 2 turtlenecks, and a beer in a tree.
This should just be the 2 days of Christmas. It's too hard for us. Go home.
8 comic books, 7 packs of smoke, 6 packs of 2 4 5.
Okay, day 12. Good day, and welcome to day 12. Yeah.
5 golden toques, 4 pounds of baguette, 3 French toast, 2 turtlenecks, and a beer in a tree.
Are you going to do that album?
So, like, that's our song. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And good day.
Good day.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I mean, either that's still really funny and well done, or I'm just still juvenile.
It's
or
really funny.
Confluence of the two. Here's Sarah with the traffic.
Are we back? I thought we were. Well, you heard this breaking story. Oh, where's the gun? Let me end it all now. Can we hear Grandma got run over by a reindeer after this?
I'm sure I can dig that one up for you, Tim. And then thanks for putting in the request.
And then we can we go and cut out the intestines of the person that sang it? Okay, please. I'm asking nicely now. I'll just stop. I want to do the Barking Clydes. I wish we had a keyboard that enabled us to sample. Because I would seriously just do the Barking Clydes. Of Clyde, 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 Clyde. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-737-5955. Today, by the way, we're going to be giving away another one of those web pads from the good folks at Budget Computers. And I'm going to be on computer time, by the way, tomorrow morning.
Yeah. What time?
9 a.m. That'll be fun. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You can reach them at 503-646-1776. They're also supplying the laptop that we are giving away for your local firefighter's toy and joy drive. Current bid on it is about $700. You can get bids to us anytime during the show. Just call Sarah at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. You can see the specs at rickemerson.com. This is Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Breaking news, Dr. Laura's mother laid dead for months in her apartment. A gruesome scene unfolding on North Palm Drive in Beverly Hills this morning, where Dr. Laura Schlesinger's mother has been found dead, with the body going undiscovered for months. Concern was not raised until a neighbor realized that Schlesinger's pet bird was no longer singing. Lieutenant Gary Gilman of Beverly Hills Police Department say cops are investigating the death as a homicide.
Yes. Well, that's what happens when you don't talk to your mother for 20 years. And then spend your whole day, by the way, counseling people on how to mend relationships with their family and loved ones. So go take on the day.
We'll see what kind of spin she works out of this one.
All right.
Anyway, Christopher Lee played...